BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Well Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Randy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's totally not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World tag team champions of the world. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two rules you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at MemLanePromo.com. Go over there for all your memorabilia needs, whether it's wrestling, baseball, football, sports in general, whatever you want. They've got what you're looking for. Once again, that's MemLanePromo.com. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my producer, Sir Rockin.
Yes, this is I, the one and the only Sir Rockin.
A.K.A. Slappy.
So what's going up, Shorty L. Funk?
Well, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got news. We've got all sorts of exciting stuff from tonight's Impact. We've got discussions. But before we get to all that, don't we have a question of the night?
Yes, we do. Our question of the night is as follows. Are wrestling fans too quick to judge things that actually happen in pro wrestling?
I hope we got a lot of good answers for that.
We have a few different answers, and some people are, you know... Anyway, we have some interesting answers for that one.
Ooh, I can't wait.
So we'll get into that later in the show tonight.
Yes, but now we're going to get into the news, and I guess we got to start off with the biggest story.
And what's that?
Well, Triple H made a little announcement today.
Oh, yes, he did. Triple H did make a huge, major announcement in Orlando, Florida today.
He did. He announced that WWE is opening a state-of-the-art performance facility in Orlando.
Go ahead. Sorry.
God, you're just interrupting me. Good Lord. They're opening a performance center for their training talent, or training center, I should say.
Right.
For the talent that's training.
Right, and before you continue on, let's hear from the game himself.
For us, this is all about the future, and the future is education. It's for the education of the WWE performers and athletes. It's the education of what we do behind the scenes from a technical standpoint. You know, the WWE is a lot more than what people think it is at first glance. I think they look at it and they just see a few guys or girls in a ring putting on a performance. It's really a global entertainment and marketing juggernaut that is seen in 150 countries around the world. It's translated in almost every language. our chairman, Vince McMahon, likes to say it's America's greatest export. We tour globally. Our superstars right now are all over Europe, touring as we speak. And it's so it is a lot more than what we do, but those superstars, the future superstars that are up here today, they are the lifeblood of what we do. Without them, we have nothing. And, you know, our superstars, they're more than just athletes. They're more than just actors. To a lot of our audience, they are larger than life, true living, breathing superheroes that go out on a stage and do battle on a weekly basis. There's heroes and villains, and it takes a lot to put that out there. And those superstars, they don't just walk in off the street. You know, we have to create them, and it takes a lot to create them, and that's where this developmental system comes in. We have talent that come to us from all over the globe. They actively seek us out for opportunities within the WWE, and we also actively recruit them. We recruit and are sought out by the NFL, the NBA, amateur and collegiate sports, Major League Soccer, rugby, even the Olympics. Part of that process is creating a facility that can teach them to do all those things and that they want to go and train at. That's what we have here today, and that's the WWE Performance Center. It's 26,000 square feet of training facility, 7 rings. Everything in it is state-of-the-art, from strength and conditioning, as we talked about in the other room, to the physical therapy and rehab. It's about making them athletically bulletproof and trying to keep them as healthy as possible. It's also making them as well-rounded as possible with professional development and life skill training and financial training that make them well-rounded as well, not just athletes or performers, but well-rounded, you know, people that are true WWE superstars. And we're investing in them. We're investing in the future. The company has invested $3.5 million into this, you know, this opportunity. And we will be bringing over 100 high-paying, high-income jobs to the Orlando area in the very near future with this facility. So it's very exciting for us. The exciting part about Orlando is you can recruit those people from all those different places all around the globe, but you've got to entice them that they have to pick up everything about their life and move somewhere. And it's really nice to be able to say, come to Orlando. Usually when we say, come to Orlando, they say, that's great. When do I leave? You know, there's never an issue with that. With this facility, to not only train the athletes of the future, to not only train the announcers and the commentators and even the referees, which we do actually train. I don't know if you've ever watched us. Our referees are the most unbiased, fair, straight down the line officiating. They go by the letter of the rule book, the WWE rule book, which is vast and thick. But they know it inside and out, and they never – sometimes they're not looking – at things when they happen, but it's occasionally, and we try to train them as good as possible. You know, we can only do so much.
That was a tremendous comment by him.
That's why I left that last part in there. It's like, huh, we train our referees, they're the best in the business, but sometimes they're looking the other way.
The WWE rulebook, which is vast and thick. Amazing. You know, obviously this is a huge announcement for them. Triple H is very clearly, you know, he's saying the company is making an investment in their future, which they haven't done something like this for quite a while. I think the last time I remember them doing something like this was really for FCW. Or, I'm sorry, not FCW, OVW.
And I was doing some research earlier. Back 10 years ago when they had OVW, right?
Right.
They're a billion-dollar company. They were investing $500,000 into developmental. That was it.
$500,000.
$500,000. That's it.
And you compare that to now, which it's $3.5 million.
Just for the building alone.
Never mind the equipment or the staff or anything else. So this is a huge deal for them. Really for the business in general.
It is. They're building an Olympic-style building. If you think about it, This is an Olympic-style facility. You got everything you could possibly need to become a pro wrestler in this performance center. And I give them props. Triple H has done some great work with developmental, and this is the best step they could ever make.
It really is. I mean, personally, you kind of got to look at it as he's building a wrestling college.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, they're building a wrestling school because they have Full Sail University, and now they have this performance center. Now they have all the tools they could not possibly need for this program.
Exactly. So I have to give them props because if nothing else, it shows Triple H's commitment to the future. Mm-hmm. It shows the company's commitment to the future, that they obviously understand where they're going to get their next big star from, and they want to invest in that and invest in their talent. And I was more amazed with the fact that they're doing physical therapy, that they're mm-hmm. going to have medical personnel on site where they can do it all in-house, and they don't have to necessarily go to an outsource center to get that done.
Everything is going to be... When a wrestler needs to rehab, they can come to this performance center. They're going to get everyone down there at some point.
Right. By the way, I love the way he says, come to Orlando.
Come to Orlando. Like, he talks about, they've talked about in the press conference about how they could have gone to Stanford or California, but because there's no taxes low taxes in Orlando, that's why they chose the place. And it's a great site because they have a great relationship with Full Sail University, and they can do everything possible. And that's what I like about it. Right, I think it's going to be good, and it's not going to kill indies because they're going to recruit people, and they're going to bring them into their family.
Yeah, it's basically worst case scenario, not everybody that trains there will get signed, so worst case, those people will flow out onto the indies. I think you more have to see it as they're looking at a way to improve the business all around. Because with the steps that they're taking in developmental right now to protect up-and-coming wrestlers, to prevent concussions, prevent injuries, that's going to start that trickle-down effect. So not everybody that goes through that training center will be signed or will be signed long-term. I mean, we don't know the details of whether you have to have a contract to train there or if you can pay to train there similarly to OVW or FCW.
I think it's for signed talent. I'm not 100% certain, but I'm sure it's signed talent. It's whoever they're bringing into their building, their company. It's whoever they're bringing into the company, and it's going to be one of those places where you can continue to train, you can build muscle, you can work. Hell, they're going to have a part in that building for promo work. They're going to have a recording studio set up in the building.
That's amazing. And the fact that he said they're going to train announcers, they're going to train commentators, backstage interviewers, hell, referees. I mean, they're very clearly looking towards the future. And if this is Triple H's vision of what he wants to turn the WWE into, I'm all for it.
Dud Nye's Entertainment goes, maybe this happens to help with the next season of Tough Enough. I doubt it. I think that boat has sailed away.
No, there was rumors that they were going to do another season of Tough Enough. There was supposedly a casting call put out. But when I went to the link, because I checked the story out, it went to the 2012 auditions, so I don't know if that's necessarily true, but if they do decide to do another season of Tough Enough, they could do it in that building, provided it's built in time, because it's not open yet.
It's opening in June.
Oh, it's opening in June. Well, okay, fine. They could do it.
Yeah, it's kicking off this summer. It's going to be opening sometime in June, and they're going to go full steam ahead. They've been building this place for a while now, and this is the official announcement of it.
And you know what? In that case, that's fantastic. I honestly would love to see pictures of it. I can't wait. Like, I'm going to have to go... Well, no, it's like you kind of want to see it because, he's talking about, it's a state-of-the-art gym and seven rings and physical rehab and now a recording studio and everybody can train, everybody on the company can train there. Because think about it. The talent, it would be attractive just for their current roster because it's like their current roster could go down there and train in peace. And not have people bothering them.
No kidding. It's going to be one. It's going to be kind of awesome, and props to WWE for taking the effort to do all this and spending the time and trying to develop a place for pet talents to go.
Yes, so bravo to them. Bravo.
Before we move on a little bit, I want to pass along to you and right here so you can scroll through a little bit. There's a few different sketches of their designs for what it's going to look like. And I'll post a link into the chat room as well. You can see how they have the seven rings set up, and they have a whole setup for it. And it's... they got a lot planned for this building, and it's going to be something to see, all right?
That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it has a bar!
Yeah, there you go. It has a bar. But yeah. Opening in summer of 2013, the WWE Performance Center 26,000 square foot building.
3.5 million.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to what the best thing for Orlando is, it's bringing over 100 jobs to the city.
Yeah, the article's saying it's going to put 2.3 million into the state economy.
Mm-hmm. And WWE's big on that.
Yeah, so they're boosting the Florida and the Orlando economy, and I'm sure Florida's going, yay!
Oh, the governor and the mayor or whoever was at the press conference is really excited over this, so...
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. But I tell you, another city that should be excited?
What city is that?
San Diego.
Why is that?
Well, the rumor is San Diego might be getting Bound for Glory this year.
Ooh.
No official announcement has been made as of yet, but word is trickling out that TNA is considering San Diego for Bound for Glory. So we'll have to see how that goes.
That'd be kind of cool. That'll be their first pay-per-view out on the West Coast, I believe. Or did they do one before, I think, out on the West Coast?
They've done shows out on the West Coast. I don't think they've done one in California. At least not a pay-per-view.
I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to look this up real quick. But yeah, good to go out there. It's good to go out and see. They did Bound for Glory 09 in Irvine.
Okay.
Irvine, California. So yeah, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing San Diego because I know Daniels and Kazarian were big on trying to get the company out onto the West Coast and out into California, into their backyard.
Yes, because then that way they don't have to travel as much. You know who else is based in San Diego?
Who?
Adam Pearce.
Who's he? He's just some indie guy TNA won't sign.
Yeah, well. Just saying, sign him, TNA. Sign him, please. He is amazing.
He is. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I am too, so we'll have to see if they make the official announcement. I probably won't be here when they come out to the West Coast, but in the event that they do, and I'm still here, I'll may have to see about attending. But more exciting news.
What's that?
The rumor was that Tara was going to be taking some time off, but she's apparently not.
Yeah, the rumor, she tweeted out earlier this week she's going to be missing TV for a few months. But then, about 20 minutes after Impact, she tweeted something else. What did she have to say?
She had to say she will be at TV next week, so no time off for her. Yay!
So
she's going there for some good old-fashioned wrestling.
Some good old-fashioned wrestling. With the 14th Knockouts champion.
Well, you have to wonder, is that going to impact her match with the new, or I should say, is that going to impact Velvet Sky's match with the new number one contender?
We'll get into this a little bit later, but poor Velvet.
Yeah, poor Velvet and her knee. Oh my god. For those of you that haven't heard, Velvet Sky severely injured her knee. We talked about it last week, where basically she popped her kneecap out and she popped her kneecap back in.
Yeah, and you could see it looked kind of painful. She couldn't. We'll get into that in a little bit. Yeah, it was kind of painful.
Yeah. So, poor thing. best of luck on that. Just seeing it on TV, it's like, ow.
But speaking of knees, somebody had some knee surgery recently.
Oh, did they?
A guy named The Undertaker apparently had knee surgery, a cleanup, as it were, right before his match with CM Punk.
That explains some things.
That guy's a nobody. Yeah, The Undertaker's just a nobody. He's never done anything in the business at all. Some jobber.
I totally don't want to have his kids or anything, you know?
No. But yeah, he had a clean-up knee surgery a few weeks before, and we were trying to think of when this could have been, because this is what we do. When could the surgery have taken place? And we're thinking it was around Nashville time, when either he was in Nashville or he was going back to Nashville to get checked out, and then went to wrestle at the house show to see how good his knee was. You know, there's certain things that tie all together.
Yeah, he went and saw his doctor in Nashville. That's why he was technically there, was to go see his doctor and talk to the company about the return, obviously. It's kind of sort of a question of, well, did he see the doctor and then get the cleanup done and wrestle a week later? Or did he have the surgery sometime potentially around the Rumble and then he went to the doctor a couple weeks after and then they set everything up?
The knee surgery was to clean out something in his knee. Could have been cartilage, could have been fluid, could have been something, but it was a clean-out knee surgery.
Yeah, it wasn't anything bad, it wasn't anything severe. They basically had to go suck a whole bunch of junk out.
Very minor knee surgery, but knee surgery nonetheless.
Yeah. And given his delicate condition,
yeah,
as it
he,
were.
He's very fragile, he's very frail at this point. So anything that happens to him is noteworthy.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, we'll talk about more about Chris Sabin returning later in the show. Don't you worry.
Yeah, we will. We will. When we get to Impact, we'll talk about it. But something else that at least was exciting that made its debut tonight that we'll get into as well is TNA brought in a ref cam.
Oh, this ref cam. Oh, welcome back, WCW.
Yeah.
Dixie Carter tweeted that it's experimental, and, well, let's take it back to the workshop a little bit. Because, yeah, that thing, well. See, Maya tweeted, says next time he's in a match, he's going to wear the ref cam.
Oh, God. Don't fall on your face, Seema. Don't fall on your face.
But I don't think he could get it on his head because of all that hair.
Well, no, you just get a Velcro strap and you strap it around his, you know, his face. That's all, you know.
Just cover up the face. Yeah. Okay, that works.
Stick it in his mouth, you know.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway, we'll get into the ref cam a little bit more when we talk about tonight's Impact, but yeah, was noteworthy. TNA is trying different things. Bravo to them for trying different things, but yeah. We'll get into it a little bit later because I think we both have comments.
Oh, yeah, we do.
But speaking of getting into it, Ryback, well, got into it. He also kind of stepped into it a little bit.
Yeah, he did. he went off about John Cena's ex-wife on Twitter. And, well, then the tweets were mysteriously deleted the next day. Oh, Ryback, you trying to be heel. It doesn't
always work.
Notice
we didn't say just one tweet. We said every tweet.
Yeah. A bunch of tweets were deleted because he started going off on John Cena's wife and... Ooh. Yeah. Poor Ryback trying to be this heel. Give him credit, he tries, but, you know.
Yeah, there's certain things you just don't touch. That's kind of one of them. Just pointing that out.
Watching the pain on Cena's face was worth standing back for. Finally, the two things he says I lack, his ex-wife seems to love. Hashtag Ryback rules. Was one of the tweets.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, his Twitter was hacked. Uh-huh, yeah. That's the Kurt Angle excuse. My Twitter was hacked.
Sure it was. And look, Kane Kittens is back.
I was drinking. My Twitter was hacked. I ate a bad clam. My Twitter was hacked.
I left my phone with... Never mind.
My Twitter was hacked. So yeah, there's that sort of thing. But yeah, poor Ryback. Nice try though.
Yeah, but good effort.
Good effort, but leave it to the professionals.
Yeah.
Pointing that out.
Yeah, so on that note, I think we ought to throw it to break, don't you?
Sounds good to me.
All right, so you've been listening to our News and Notes, brought to you, of course, by PWMady.com. Go there for all your news needs. When we come back, we're going to be talking all about TNA Impact tonight. The goods, the bad, the ugly. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. As you walk through these troubled times, we struggle through the so-called lies, waiting for something to change. And now all of it's gone, the pain has lingered far too long, black is the sky filled with rage. It's been too long, long enough, we'll right this wrong. We will remember today.
If you thought you knew what wrestling talk was like on a Wednesday night before, you better think again. When the Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you, Cheap Heat Radio. Join me, Scott Barry.
And me, Matthew Forsina, as we bring to you our unique and sometimes controversial opinions on pro wrestling.
This show is all about finding a star, not feeling sorry for people who aren't very good.
Controversial? That's an understatement. We hold nothing back, and we expect you, yes, you, random internet guy, or girl, not really girls, behind the keyboard, to hold back nothing either.
Ever heard of a little thing called the internet?
Internet, eh?
Join us every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
That's 7:30 p.m. Central.
For Cheap Heat Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Falk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hardcore Country! Hey, hey, can't you see?
I'm a rockin' southern girl running wild and free.
Hey, I'm walking through the door.
High-class style, country to the core.
And welcome back to the Rack here on TalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs and your news needs. Right, now we're going to be talking all about TNA Impact, brought to you, of course, by our friends at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And hello to everybody over there who's listening to us. We thank you. Come over if you haven't already to wildtalkradio.com and come into our interactive chat room and talk to everybody, because we got quite a few people and they're having quite a conversation tonight.
Yes, they are. So we want like everyone to interact with us right here, live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Rack.
Yes. And oh my goodness, this was an interesting night.
That's a good way to put it. It was an interesting night of Impact.
There was a lot of good, there was some bad, and there was some, I want to get my smiting stick.
Oh, yeah.
So, we open up the show tonight with a nice video package talking all about Jeff Hardy. They show him being wheeled out last week. They also opened up with a very nice tribute to the victims of Boston, who we as well send our sympathies and condolences to the people affected by that. And they keep saying an arrest is imminent. Hopefully they find the bastard that did it.
They're putting out photos now, so.
Yeah, they have photos. So if you've seen that guy, grab him by the scruff of his neck and take him to the police immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We will all thank you for it, I promise.
Agreed.
But going back on track, we open up the show with Garrett and Wes sitting backstage. Devon's talking to them about their match tonight with Kurt Angle. He's trying to give them a pep talk, telling them not to take Angle lightly. And basically, Wes and Garrett are a little too overconfident, a little too assured of themselves. And they tell Devon they've got it well in hand and not to worry, that they'll get business done for the club like they always do.
Mm-hmm. He told them basically to get the job done in all serious fashion.
Yes. And then we got a really actually fantastic video package talking about this feud.
Yeah, bravo to WWE, TNA's production crew for that one. That was really well done.
That one and the Hardy one, really. They were both really fantastic.
It was. It was a nice recap of everything, that in case you've missed it, if you're a first-time watcher of the show, you could catch up on what everything's been going on between these three men.
Yes, and it's... I would urge anybody to go check it out that hasn't seen it, because it actually was something to be appreciated on its own. But after this, we get our first contest of the evening, which is Kurt Angle taking on Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff in a very spirited contest.
That's a good way to put it, spirited.
Yes, there was lots of back and forth, lots of people being thrown around. It was a nice long match.
they gave him time. Taz was putting over Kurt Angle, you know, backhandedly throughout the match, which was interesting. We saw a little interference from the VP of the Aces and Eights, D'Lo Brown, more little sneaky tricks with a foreign object to the back of Kurt Angle, allowing Wesson Garrett to pick up the victory over one Kurt Angle.
Yeah, and then, well, the beatdown was on. Aces and Eights went after Angle for a little bit before Anderson picked up the mic. Oh my God, Mr. Anderson was complete win tonight.
He really was. Anderson talked about how they said Sting left Hogan's side a few weeks ago. Jeff Hardy was decimated. Angle lies in shambles. Anderson told the crowd, if you're not wearing a jacket tonight, then you're in a bad freaking way. Anderson closed by saying, they're rooting for AJ Styles tonight.
They are.
They're on his side.
They've got his back.
Yeah, but if you're not wearing one of those the vests tonight, you're in trouble tonight. And clearly, as the night goes on, you really were.
You really were. They definitely flexed their muscle as the night went on. But after this, we get Petey Williams.
Yes, we had a nice little video package on Petey Williams about his upcoming X Division title match. And that was up next, Petey Williams and Zema Ion challenge Kenny King for the X Division title. The three ways continue with the X Cam.
All right, chat room, start posting now. Let's talk about the match before we talk about the camera.
This match was okay. It felt a little off. In general, it wasn't the greatest match I've ever seen, but it wasn't the worst. It just was there.
They didn't seem to click as well as the other trios have in the past.
And that's what you're gonna get. That's what you're gonna get with these type of matches. You're not always gonna have the perfect combination, and I think the Kenny King Zema Ion combination has run its course, as we've seen tonight.
Yeah, so it's, which obviously they took care of, as Kenny King did pick up the victory with Zema Ion taking the pin, so he is out. Petey Williams continues on. Yay!
Yes, Petey Williams stays in the title picture. Kenny King keeps the gold. Zema Ion will now be in the next number one contenders match. He has to earn his way back into getting another title shot.
Oh, yes, that nice. We didn't miss the Chris Sabin tweet returning, but we were going to talk about that at some point. So we'll go ahead and say it. Chris Sabin's coming back this month.
Next week, I believe. I believe he's coming back next week to Impact Wrestling when they're live in, where are they next week? I think. Where are they? ImpactWrestling.com. Well, tell me in a second. They're in, yeah, they're in Indiana, Pennsylvania next week.
Odd name for a town, but okay, yes. So Chris Sabin returns. Yay!
And there's a college, Indiana University in Pennsylvania, so...
It moved to Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Indiana moved to Pennsylvania.
He'll probably go into one of the X matches, which if we can get Kenny King, Petey Williams, and Chris Sabin, oh, buddy. Yes! Just Sabin and Williams. Can I just have Sabin and Williams? Because that will be amazing.
Yeah. Dunnice is bringing up that he says the Motor City Machine Guns are dead forever. I'm going to tell you this. Nothing is ever dead in wrestling.
Yeah, don't count anything out. Stranger things have happened.
Never say never in wrestling, brother.
Yeah, because as we all saw, Bret Hart said he would come back when hell froze over, and well, the night he came back, hell froze over. Satan had to break out the hot hands.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Sabin will be coming back as a singles competitor. They will put him into the X Division more than likely. I know he put out on his Twitter that he would be going after the world title, but he'll probably be slotted in where they need him at this stage, seeing as the world title picture is
a little too crowded for him right now.
Yeah. A little full.
And I hope he comes back, and I hope he's healthy enough to come back. I hope he's not rushing back because he needs to come back. I hope he takes his time. I hope he doesn't try to kill himself as his first match back.
Yes. Please take care, Chris. We love you.
So, yeah, protect yourself when you get back, Chris.
Please. But moving on, after the X Division match, we had Magnus...
Hold on. We're not going to talk about the X Cam?
Oh, I was trying to avoid it. Fine, we will talk about the X Cam.
Oh, the X Cam.
Oh, dear.
Jimmy Corderas got a tweet. If you don't know who Jimmy Corderas is, he's a former WWE referee. And if you want to hear more about him, listen to KFA Wrestling Radio from this past Tuesday night. There's your plug, Alan Wojcik, and there's your name drop. Someone tweeted, what do you think of the Impact Wrestling X Cam? Because it worked so well in WCW, ref looked like a cab driver, was his response.
Ouch.
Yeah, so, terrible. Just terrible. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Being in yellow doesn't help. Playing up to the camera was terrible by Z-Mion. Just have your match.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a distraction, and it doesn't really provide that much of a different angle than the cameras that they already have. I really actually wish they would do what they used to do back in the day, which was they would have the camera over the ring, and they would show that shot.
The Wild E. Coyote Cam, is it called?
Yes, the Wild E. Coyote Cam. That would be neat to see come back if they could figure out a way to do it. But as far as just having a camera strapped to the referee's head, it's a little bit too distracting, both, I think, for the wrestlers and for the fans. Doesn't help that it was yellow. And, yeah, I would call this a fail.
Yeah, it was a failed experiment. So, back to the drawing board, TNA, when it comes to cameras like that. Yes, and if you would like to see how bad it is, a close-up camera is, go back and listen, watch our WTR riff of the Chamber of Horrors, which you can click the riffs button right on top of wildtalkradio.com or it's wildtalkradio.com/WTR riffs.
You know, Mace, you should join us. What?
Nothing. I'm waiting for you to continue. You're a host.
Well, fine. You cut me off last time that I tried to continue. So now can I talk about Magnus and his backstage promo?
Yes, you can.
Yay! So Magnus cuts a nice backstage promo about aces and eights, saying that they don't realize what's going on. They don't realize that, well, they're not there to take things from people. He's there to take something from them, and he's going to take D-Von's TV title tonight.
Wait. D-Von's the TV champion?
Yes, he is.
That belt actually exists?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
They gave it back to him, and it's going to live with him. It's, you know, they temporarily got split up because of the contract situation, and now they're back together.
Okay. Whatever you say.
But it was a nice little backstage promo by Magnus.
Yeah, nice promo by Magnus. He's improving.
He is improving. And also improving, we have Brooke Hogan sitting backstage.
Yes, you had earlier today Brooke Hogan and Christy Hemme, you know, looking over the new and improved TNA Knockouts website coming soon. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Next week it debuts.
Yes, go check it out when it debuts. They showed some very nice pictures. I'm surprised Matt isn't here charming about Tara because she looked really, really, really spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
As did all the ladies.
They did. Christy Hemme was really behind this whole photo shoot thing. She was directing it and stuff.
Very nice.
It's going to come out really well. They've teased some pictures out on Twitters. Looks good.
Yeah. Kate Kittens, we don't talk about the title defended every week thing.
What thing? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
They don't talk about that here. It's like Taboo Tuesday.
Yeah.
Taboo Tuesday. Two people get that reference. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. They pip the website a little bit, and we have then Mickie James and Brooke Tessmacher walk into the room. They sit down, and Brooke Hogan attempts to give them a little pep talk and talk to them about tonight is a number one contenders match for the Knockouts title. Winner gets to face Velvet Sky next week. And, you know, Brooke pumps them up. She's excited. She knows they can do it and that they'll put on a really good match. Mickey's excited. She gets up and walks out. And Brooke reaches out to Brooke, tells her that she's there for her, she supports her, offers to give her a hug, the two hug, and it's a nice, warm, fuzzy moment.
Aww.
Too many Brooks in this segment.
Aww.
Little girl love right there.
Aww.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Aww. Did your heart just grow, you know, three sizes bigger?
Aww. Anyway, move on. I could do that all night just to move on.
Yeah. So what wasn't warm and fuzzy was, well, the TV title match.
Wait, wait, wait. TV title match is on the line?
Yeah. I know. You have Magnus supposedly taking on Devon. Devon comes out first, stands in the ring. Magnus comes out next. And, well, he doesn't quite make it to the ring. You have Knox and Steve jump Magnus as he walks out. They start to beat the crap out of him. Devon joins in, breaks out a chain, starts to pummel Magnus. But all is not for naught. Somebody comes to Magnus's aid.
Who?
In the form of Joe.
Joe's gonna kill you, Joe's gonna kill you.
Dude, Joe's gonna mess someone up.
Yeah.
There's a glare down and the Aces and Eights back off as Joe looks like he's ready to rip someone's head off, snarling the whole time. It's fantastic.
Yes, Joe made the save for his former tag team partner, Magnus. And yeah.
So there's kind of warm and fuzzies.
Kind of warm and fuzzies. So sort of kind of awe moments, but yeah.
In a scary sort of way.
In a scary sort of way, when especially with Joe. But yeah, nice effective segment brings the TV title back into the picture and gives us Magnus looking for revenge when he's healthy enough to do so.
Yes. So, looking forward to it. They'll probably play a factor as they continue to build to Slammiversary, which, by the way, Slammiversary 11 is in June on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Get your tickets now. Boston.
Yeah, it's in Boston. So definitely get your tickets, go check it out. Looks like they are starting to build to a really good show.
Yeah, they're starting to build to a nice show. We'll get more matches announced as the weeks go on. Yeah.
So, yeah, after this, we come back from commercial break, and Joe is still he's gone to TNA management in the 3 minutes that they were at commercial. And says that he has made a demand, and his demand has been met. And Devon, tonight, Joe's coming for you, and he's gonna kill you.
Joe's gonna kill you, Joe's gonna kill you.
This was a great backstage segment with Joe. Mm-hmm. He had such a fantastic intensity to him.
I agree.
It's like, and I'm sure he's a perfectly lovely man, but in this segment, he just scared the hell out of me. It's like,
that's what he's there for. He's there
in
to
a dark alley.
Yeah, he's there. That's what he's there for. He's there to, you know. But this is the perfect type of job when you have to kill somebody.
Yeah, it's. This is how he should be booked because he's amazing like this.
I agree.
But after this, we get a recap of Velvet Sky's injury.
Yeah, that knee popping thing. Ooh, 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 ooh. Feel bad for you, Velvet. That's all I gotta say. Those kind of injuries suck.
Yeah, I felt bad for her the way she was describing it. It's like, ooh, ow, 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 ow.
When you say you can't feel your knee, yeah. You can't feel your leg, oof, that's gotta hurt.
Well, it'll hurt once you get the feeling back.
Well, that too, but that's kind of scary as well.
That is kind of scary, where she's just like, it just feels like a dead leg.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ooh, that's never good.
Never. Never good.
And in the kind of sort of head-scratcher match of the night, we've got Brooke Testmacher taking on Mickey James in a number one contenders match for Velvet's title. This was not the best of matches. It was not the worst.
I think what we can see here, Mickey's getting a little bit more aggressive side to her. She wants to, well, get the title back. And I think we could see a little bit between ODB and Mickey James down the line as well.
Yeah, ODB really kind of made this match. And Mickey helped. I'm not the biggest Tessmacher fan, so Brooke was...
Brooke was there. Miss Tessmacher was there. She tried. But,
Yes, points for trying.
And C for effort.
Yes, C for effort. But, yeah, it was an okay match. It was really, really, really oddly paced. It seemed very slow in spots.
Yeah. It's a part of the learning process for Tessmacher.
But other than that, you know, it was a decent ODB, and Mickey really kind of made up for it in a lot of ways. They had some really nice physical moments with each other. And I mean that in the clean way, people.
All right.
And yeah, I mean, overall it was effective. It did what it needed to do. Mickey picks up the victory, and she is now the number one contender for Velvet Sky's title.
Which is always a good thing.
So will we see Mickey James get the title back?
I'm thinking she might.
Yeah, if Velvet's knee is bad and she's not able to work, then there's a very good chance we may see Mickey get the title back. Or will it be Tara?
My money's on Mickey at this point.
Yeah, I would actually like to see Mickey with the title. No offense to Velvet Sky, but I'm a big Mickey James fan, so to see her get the title back would be pretty cool.
It would.
And then after this... I can pull up the right run sheet.
Oh, AJ Styles was shown walking around, and he walked away from Daniel Kazarian, and he handed him a t-shirt. Styles walked off a bit, and then Daniels and Kazarian started to sing a little bit tonight, didn't they?
Oh my god, they did. It was hilarious. Basically, I wrote down, bad influence stalks AJ, and they sing.
And, well, this isn't them, but this is what they sung.
Classic! We are back!
That's
we
right.
are back! We are getting Doug back!
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone can have. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other. We're the best three friends that anybody could have.
Basically what they did tonight.
Which was tremendous. These two, this was not their first awesome segment. They actually kind of sort of had two segments of the night tonight.
This was a nice little teaser into what's to come, but yeah. Oh, Daniels and Kazarian. The band's back together. The three amigos.
They are. The three amigos are gonna... We need to tweet them and tell them they need to do the three amigos salute. That would be amazing.
That would be fantastic. Get on that.
Somebody get on that! But anyway, after this, we get the segment that made me want to get my smiting stick.
Okay.
Joseph Parks is in the locker room. He's telling his associate, you need to file that brief. You need to file it right now. And when his phone is snatched away by D-Von. D-Von warns him. He told him that he should have stayed out of family business, but no, he just can't keep his nose out of things. Joseph tries to talk, but, well, somebody attacks him from behind. It is, of course, Bully Ray. That goddamn bully. Joseph Parks is knocked to the floor. They then wrap a chain around Joseph Parks' neck and proceed to threaten him and warn him, telling him to keep his nose out of family business. Or else. They then drag him up through the back of the locker room by his neck via the chain, and then they throw him into the shower where it gets mysteriously turned on, or somebody turns it on. I didn't quite see who did. And Joseph Park is left laying in the shower with the water pouring down on him. As the camera pulls away, he's sobbing.
It was D-Von who turned on the water.
Okay. I didn't see D-Von turn on the water, but yeah, so they basically leave Joseph Park laying in the water, sobbing.
Bastards. Goddamn bastards beating up our man, Joseph Park. But if you missed our interview with Joseph Park, go back to rockradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com for the archive.
Yes, if anybody doesn't know, I'm extremely emotionally invested in Joseph Park, so I was like, Somebody get me my stick. Take them down. Never underestimate a short Southern girl.
Never, ever, ever underestimate Lindsay Ward.
Yeah. I can be quite fierce when I want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But overall, it was a fantastic segment. It got me.
It was well done.
And it's like you just wanted to run up afterwards and hug him.
Bully Ray playing well the bully.
Yeah, doing it well. So this kind of plays into what they said later in the night, but could Joseph Hart be the hero that we're all needing?
Anyway, we continue backstage after the break. Mickie James is talking about the number one contendership to the Knockouts title. Mickie says she thinks it's been forgotten what she means to the company. She's been pushed aside. Mickie says she wants Velvet Sky's title after being pushed way aside to the wayside for the past year. Mickie said no one is better than her, and it's about damn time that she shines.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I'm going to agree with you. Mickie James needs to shine.
Yeah, this was a great promo by her. Showed really nice intensity, and it made you want to see the match. And I'm excited for next week.
Looking forward to it. Back live, exciting match. I'm ready.
But speaking of exciting, or speaking of intense, we get a really nice promo from James Storm saying he's sick and tired of talking, and basically he and AJ are going to settle this like two grown men. They're going to fight it out.
He wants to kick some sense into AJ Styles.
Which is as any good Southern boy would.
Exactly.
So, nice build up to their match later tonight, which, by the way, if we didn't mention, the main event is, of course, James Storm taking on AJ Styles. But up next, oh my god, the segment of the night.
And the only way to describe it is, well, to hear it one more time.
Yes.
The year of bad influence continues! It is great to be us! The fans love us! We got these sweet new shirts available at Shop TNA! Great news! As far as the Bad Influence movie goes, it's in production. We're in talks right now with Morgan Freeman to play the role of Dixie Carter.
Before we continue, oh my god.
I know, I lost it when he said that, but continue.
Oh, Dixie Carter. Morgan Freeman is Dixie Carter. Anyway, continuing on.
But the cherry on the sundae that is our lives is we are this close to convincing AJ Styles to join the band and side with us one more time.
And AJ, we even got you your very own Bad Influence shirt, black and yellow, just like Rocky Balboa, bro. I know you love him. And now that the Avengers are on the verge of assembling, and the OGs of Impact are ready to ride again, our first matter of business involves our old amigos, Churro Guerrero and Juan Hernandez. Now, as soon as you two muchachos have the huevos to give us our title shots, We will become the World Tag Team Champions of the World, Part Trace. And on that note, you chodes, you all have permission to worship us.
I think the worship's gonna have to wait.
Okay, listen, hey, Dumb and Dumber, you guys can decide who's who. Hey, but listen, before anybody's gonna worship anything or anybody, I guess I gotta be the bearer of bad news. I guess you guys didn't get the email, the message, the text, the tweet. You see, I'm sorry to tell you guys, but you're not the number one contenders to the World Tag Team Championships. No. No, because you see, last week, Chavo and Hernandez fluked a victory over A-Double in the X Factor. So before anybody gets anything here, we're getting a rematch. Whoa. Now, Bobby, I respect you, but your opinion would have a lot more weight behind it if you weren't Canadian. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone knows a Canadian's opinion is only worth 3/4 of an American's opinion. That's science. It's science. I didn't make the rules.
Real good. Well, luckily for us, my opinion's worth 1 1/4. So when you add that up, that's two whole parts at that. But here's what it comes down to. I'm not going to lie here. You gentlemen have a more successful tag team career than we have. And maybe if me and Bobby spent enough extra quality, secluded, private time together, like Christophe and Francois does, maybe we'd be a well-oiled, well-lubed machine like you gentlemen.
Okay. Giggle. That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Bobby? The only reason you cut your hair is because I did first, and it looks really cool. And you're just a dirty vegan.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I'm a vegan. You guys put the meat in your mouth
because
I don't.
So there's a reason, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
There's a reason.
You put your own meat in your mouth.
That's
you
why.
What?
No.
Put your own
meat
in your mouth.
You don't even have matching tights.
Yeah.
How about that?
We're the best coast boogeyman.
You don't own a comb.
No, you don't own a comb.
You don't own a comb.
You wear sunglasses indoors.
I do. You know why?
Yeah.
Not
you're blind.
No, I'm not blind. You know what the other reason is?
No.
You're not cool.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, I am an asshole.
Yeah, I figured that much.
So what do you do,
All right, you know what?
You win. Yeah, you bet I'm right. Yeah, I see. Yeah, I see the fear in your eyes. Yeah, back out. We'll do the same thing to you that we did to Chavo Hernandez before they fluked it out. Get out. Get out of my way.
The tag team champions just won it last week at Corpus. They strike and put an end to the ego convention. Well, boys, this is why we're better right here.
Okay. Chavo, don't talk. Ever.
They fight like a bunch of women, but it's so amazing.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
I'm still waiting on the status of the championship suspenders. Just pointing that out.
But oh my god, they were fantastic tonight. Need more of these four, just these four. Not the other two Mexicans, just these four.
Yeah, we need a few between these four because, as we predicted, the promo work is going to be epic, and it was hilarious.
Taking shots at hair, being a vegan, and you don't have matching tights, you wear glasses indoors, you're an asshole, the Canadian line, which is a clip now.
Which is going into the WTR intro before Sunday. I just have this feeling.
Most likely. Oh, this was tremendous. And these four are tremendous. Then, as I said, then the Mexicans ruined the segment. Yeah, they kind of did.
Yeah, you could have had that segment end without Chavo and Hernandez walking out. And be like, oh yeah, we have a title that makes us better. No, honey, it doesn't. I'm sorry. No. Nice try, though.
Nice try. Take your parting gift on your way out. Yeah, we're the West Coast boogeyman. That was good. That was a good line, too.
I just love the number of movie references made in this segment.
Tremendous.
Well played. Movie and comic book references, I should say. Well done on their part.
Promo segment of the night.
Easily.
Hands down. And when he first came out, it said Dumb and Dumber, which you two can figure out which one it is. It's tremendous, too.
It's like when they walked out, it's like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Yes, this is going to be amazing.
Here we go. This is what we were hoping for. Here, they're off.
But another thing that was well done, we can sit here and honestly sing their praises all night, but we got to move on, so... Another thing that was well done was actually they re-showed the Hardy recap, but a nice thing that they added into it was interviews with the superstars backstage.
Yeah, they made the Jeff Hardy injury a big deal.
They made it seem that, you know, nasty L-word, legit. Which, and then they have them talk about, well, you know, this was, you know, the aces and eights have to be stopped, and they really made aces and eights feel like a force to be reckoned with. That they really are taking over the company, and somebody has to stop them.
And maybe, just maybe, it will be Matt Morgan?
No, Matt Morgan just likes to sit there and scold Hogan.
Speaking of him, he said, Hogan isn't here tonight to deal with it. Morgan listed all Hogan's mistakes down along the way, then noted this could have been easily avoided if he did the right thing. Which would give Morgan the title shot that he wants, and for a guy who wants a title shot really never wrestles, so just screaming about a title shot really probably won't give you a title shot, but hey, it's there.
Yeah.
Up next, however, it's time for the television title match, finally.
Part two.
D-Von versus Samoa Joe. Decent match.
By the way, Dutt and I's points for the Prince Justice Brotherhood reference. Well done. But yeah, it was a nice, good physical match.
It was. I don't think these two have the greatest of chemistry.
They don't, but they did what they needed to do. They got it done, and it had a really nice finish to it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have Anderson come in, he knocks Joe out with a pair of brass knucks, which allows D-Von to pick up the victory, and then Aces and Eights once again celebrate in the ring by beating down Joe.
The Aces and Eights continue to look strong tonight.
They did. No, Tommy. Suicide's not coming back.
Unless there's a TNA video game part two.
No, Suicide's not coming back. They're not going to bring him back.
Aww.
Actually, it would have been cool to see him on the X-Pay review, though. I don't think you can get Mr. Kazarian to put the suit back on. Just pointing that out.
Or Daniels. Neither one, I don't think, is putting it back on anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think they want to. But up next, for your main event of the evening, you have James Storm taking on AJ Styles.
I was surprised by the finish.
I was surprised by the finish, too. You have the finish of the match was, it was a very good match overall. I mean, you can't go wrong with these two. The finish saw James Storm submit to AJ Styles. He tapped out.
I was really surprised.
It was a nice shocker. It's like, wait, what? Storm tapped out? What?
What? Like, it came out of, not to sound redundant, but it came out of nowhere. And it obviously did.
Oh my god,
yeah. But it was a good match. When they showed the video package of AJ Styles earlier, you could see how much he's actually changed.
Yeah, you really can. I was actually shocked he wore wrestling tights.
But if you notice the colors, they are black and silver.
Yeah.
But yeah, good match. Styles wins via submission. And things were not over there.
No, they weren't. Because, well, after the match, Bad Influence... Well, we should say Bad Influence was at ringside pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, they were watching their body. The third amigo, the three amigos, they were watching him on. They came into the ring, celebrated with Styles, and then, well, he, you know, dropped both of them.
Yeah. Which left Storm wondering what exactly was going on. Storm and AJ exchange looks before AJ turns to go. And as he turns to go, well, a group made their final appearance of the evening. You have Aces and Eights come out one last time, and they beat the crap out of James Storm. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian left them all laying in the ring, and the whole time this is going on, you have AJ Styles just walking away.
Like, his hands are clean from this entire situation.
You then have Bully Ray get in the ring, and he cuts a promo, which was absolutely fantastic, on Hulk Hogan. He basically puts the blame on Hogan for this entire situation, saying that, well, let's see. Hold on, I think I can get it.
Bully Ray basically said they were responsible for destroying all the teenage heroes. He said he is the man responsible for defeating and taking out Jeff Hardy. Bully said his brothers are the men responsible for taking out these three pieces of trash laying in the ring. Bully said there are no heroes left. All of them are now just victims. Ray said there's only one man to blame, and that's Hulk Hogan. Bully Ray basically told Dad that next week on Impact he is calling him out in the middle of the ring. He said he wants to look him dead in the eye and tell him to his face that he is the reason why all their heroes are nothing but victims. And he looked over to Taz, you know, just another victim. Right, Taz? Right, Taz? Which I thought was funny.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Ray said, then when you ride with the Aces and Eights, you never walk alone. Nice finish.
Yeah, it was. It was a really great finish. You have the announcers go out saying that, you know, they're looking ahead to next week, saying that they need heroes, warriors, and hope. And then Taz closes the show by saying, you're in a lot of trouble then.
Interesting. Interesting conclusion to the show.
It is. It's a very interesting conclusion, and it kind of begs the question of, well, who's going to be the hero?
The ultimate warrior.
No.
No? No.
No, I don't think it's going to be Warrior. Just, no. I have that hunch. Could it be Sting?
Ooh. Could it be Sting?
Could it be Chris Sabin?
Hell, Sabin!
Could it be Joseph Park?
Go, Joe, go!
Or could it be Abyss?
Ooh. I don't think it's Abyss.
See, I'm kind of wondering, and I thought about this after they went off the air, of something happens that makes Joseph Park snap. Because he's been prone to snap in the ring whenever he sees blood, but they bully him or they push him just far enough to where he just snaps.
Be interesting.
It would be interesting to see what would happen, but I guess we'll have to tune in next week live from Indiana University in Pennsylvania?
It's not Indiana University, it's just Indiana, Pennsylvania, but there is an Indiana University in Pennsylvania.
Oh, fine. Okay. Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Tickets on sale now. Go and buy them. Ticketmaster.com.
Yes, go and buy them, go attend the show, because I'm sure it will be absolutely fantastic. If they continue on this roll, I'm highly looking forward to next week, and really the Slammiversary pay-per-view.
Yeah, next week on the show we get two title matches, the return of Chris Sabin, Hulk Hogan and Bully Ray confrontation, more with Bad Influence probably. Going to be a fun show.
Yeah, we'll probably have a confrontation of Bad Influence, AJ Styles, and James Storm. I would think.
Yeah, I would agree. So it's going to be an interesting show next week. I would say so. Lots going on. Maybe another television title match 2 weeks in a row. No. Probably not.
Actually, is next week Championship Thursday, or is it just a regular show? Or is it Open Fight Night?
I don't think it's Open Fight Night. think the week after is Open Fight Night. I'm not sure. With this whole new taping schedule, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track. So, anyway, tune in next week because it looks like it's going to be a very exciting show.
It's going to be a fun show next week.
Yes. So, speaking of fun shows, I say we continue ours after the break.
Sounds like a good idea. And for those listening at TNAsylum.com, don't fret. More TNA to come.
Yes. So, when we come back from break, we'll be having our Tweet of the Week, our discussions, and what the hell, we'll do the Magic 8-Ball segment tonight just because we can. So, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up. Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why do you think Rob Parks didn't do it? We waited forever to Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow.
Wow.
All right, everyone was listening to that. Forget about it.
Forget.
Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
I'm Rob Buzz, your Godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA related events, and a first look on the behind the scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widowsweet, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Who's to know if your soul will fade at all? The one you sold to fool the world. You lost your self-esteem along the way.
And welcome back to The Rack Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs. If you just joined us, you just missed our, well, Impact review, as I say here and flood the show yet again. Yay.
Oh, stop it, will you?
But now we're going to do something even more fun than our Impact review, which is, of course, our favorite segment, or at least one of them, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So I only have one.
Okay. I have a bot, so go.
Okay. From James Storm. Best line of the night. Stripper. Mom, get in the effing car. Nice. So, okay, I will let you go.
This one's for you. I figured you'd be using this one. This is from AJ Lee. The Shield is on my TV. Everybody shut up. Shut up. Shut your faces.
By the way, we have a new name. Inspired by the European tour and the potential match at Extreme Rules, it is Keen. Anyway, continue.
Two things from AJ Lee. Two things. One, I would like to be like Big E to introduce Ziggy that same way every time we enter Cracker Barrel for the foreseeable future. And two, Ziggy Scraggly, I just woke up voice is strangely hot to me. So hot I might have gotten pregnant just standing within earshot.
Oh my.
Yeah. The Iron Sheik. Do you like it old? Do you like old country way or new country way? Hashtag yes, Maria. Maria Kanellis replies, only if you put me in camel clutch. Make me humble. Sheik responds, anytime you're ready, my darling, I'm ready. I respect you, but still shooting-wise can beat the fuck out of you old country way. Dolph Ziggler, head overseas to film National Lampoon's European Vacation 2. Sorry, folks, the park's closed for 2 weeks. The moose out front should have told you. Dolph Ziggler, I don't get why Bieber gets such a bad rap. I think his rhymes are dope. Hashtag Vin Diesel Sunday.
Oh, my God.
And this one I just found, so... Big E Langston tweets, I'll be the one not making out on the ramp at ringside behind the bleachers. AJ Riley replies, I straight ahead, no judges. Big E replies, these are the days that I'm thankful for peripheral vision and mental pictures for later. AJ replies, stop talking. He replies, the mental pictures are for the stories I'm going to tell my grandchildren about how wonderful you are. Yeah, that's it. AJ replies, grandchildren? It's in the Earth's best interest you never procreate.
Oh! Ouch! That's harsh.
That was very hurtful. I'm going to tell my offspring not to play with your kids. Sorry, cats. Don't play with her cats. She replies, how dare you? No, that's pretty fair. And he wraps up with saying, I feel bad. I take it back. They can play with your cats, but I'll make them wear rubber gloves. I know your cats will be all mangly.
Oh.
That's tweet of the week. Oh, I love AJ on Twitter.
So that means I can ask her if I can have her kittens?
Yes, you can ask her now on Twitter or tomorrow at some point if you can have her kittens.
Sweet.
Maybe she'll name one after you.
That would be awesome, dude.
Lindsay Jr. Lindsay the DJ, second.
DJ Tiny Tot.
DJ Tiny Tot. Lindsay's new rap name. Bye.
And I don't care what you say, Tim Stein. I like DJ Tiny Tot because I am tiny.
Yeah.
Parts of my anatomy may not be, but I am tiny.
She's a tiny
so
person.
So there.
Take that one, Tim Stein.
Not that he's even listening.
He was for a while, I think. I don't know. It's Tim Stein.
Oh, did they ring a nappy time or bedtime at the home?
Yeah, they did.
Got it.
Anyway, what do you want to get into next?
Well, I say we stay on our TNA jaunt here, and we talk a little bit about the TNA title picture.
Yeah, chat was all that. Yeah, TNA title picture. It's basically, where do we see the TNA title picture going from here? Should they stick with the current crop of talent they keep putting in the title picture, or should we be moving to some different names?
Well, I mean, by same crop, you mean the likes of Jeff Hardy and Bobby Roode and Austin Aries
and Sting, that sort of talent.
This is going to sound really, 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 really supremely wrong, and so if I piss anybody off, I apologize, but I really don't think Sting should be in the title picture.
I'm with you. He shouldn't at this point. I think it's... For him, it shouldn't be about the title picture any longer. He's had his run with the world title in TNA multiple times. He should just back off a little bit. Thun Eye says he wants Hulk Hogan versus Bully Ray at Slammiversary. Why?
No.
Come on, brother. Bound for glory, brother. Take it all the way to San Diego, brother. Come on now. Hulk Hogan wins a big victory at Bound for Glory. Come on now. You should know this. This is how it's all going to play out.
No. Actually, do you think they could get Bully, at least the Aces and Eights, to Bound for Glory?
Oh, yeah. Easily.
Easily?
Easily. There's no doubt in my mind, because with the four pay-per-views a year, yeah, easily. But it's time we see some new blood in there. It's time we see some guys elevate and we see some people put in the title picture, because I don't want them going back on the older talent. I'm okay with Bobby Roode and Austin Aries in the title picture because they deserve to be in the title picture, and it'll be good matches between Bully Ray and Austin Aries because they had a couple good ones, and Bobby Roode. But it's like, it's the Jeff Hardys, it's the Stings, it's that type of person that should, they've had their shot, they should move on.
I honestly wouldn't mind them throwing Joe into that mix, especially against Bully Ray, because I think you could have Joe do something, some really, really good physical matches with Bully. I think he'd mix very well with him.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that Joe should get a shot in at some point, whether it's on TV or pay-per-view. It's like, you have this guy, Samoa Joe, he's been with the company for about, what, 7 years at this point?
Yeah, thereabouts.
And he always seems to float around. It might even be 9 years at this point. He just seems always to float around. He had his time like a few years ago, but since this new regime has taken over, he's always been pushed. There are times where you see him go, okay, they're ready to strike with him, and then they just pull back, and it's disheartening when you're a Samoa Joe fan, and it's like, huh, I want to see more of Joe. I want to see Joe have a run. And a Bully Ray Joe feud, I'm all for it.
Yeah, because it's like they brought up tonight, you know, all your heroes have failed. All your heroes have been left laying. And it's, they need a hero. They need to step up or have someone step up and be a hero. And I know Joe was one of the ones left laying tonight. I understand that. But it would be neat to see them do something with somebody that you're not necessarily expecting them to step up. Where it's, you know, you have someone like Joe or, like I said earlier, Joseph Parks. Somebody like that, that you're not really expecting them, that they've kind of had to take that backseat role to everybody in the title picture. And they say, well, you want a hero, I'll be your hero, I'll stand up to the aces and eights, I don't care.
All right, and Dunn's brought up he actually wants to see Sting in the title picture, and from a storyline sense, that makes a lot of sense, but it...
At this stage, I would agree. Sting should get a match because he was the first one attacked, but at this stage, I really could see Sting more in that supportive role of he motivates that person when whoever it is that steps up when they're down, and it's like that down and out moment, and you need that voice of reason to come in and step in and give you that drive to push to the finish.
I just can't get invested in a Sting title push anymore. It was good years ago when he first came in TNA, and just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, as much as I love Sting, I think he's fantastic, I think that at this stage of the game, they really need to start pushing towards a younger champion. And unfortunately, the same thing goes true for Angle as well. Like you said, I don't want to see what I guess I would term the status quo get it. I really would like to see somebody new and different. It's like when they put the belt on Bully and they finally pulled that trigger, where they gave it to Bully and they're giving him this run with it. It was a really a nice welcomed change. Mm-hmm. Because it's somebody different. It's somebody new. It's we were expecting it, but we weren't. And he's doing such a fantastic job with it. And I would really love to see them do that again, where they take somebody you're not expecting to be a champion, or somebody who you years ago wouldn't have thought could have been a champion.
Right.
And have a run with the belt. It's like, I would love to see Christopher Daniels get a run with the belt. He's never had one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because you've been with the company for several years doesn't mean that you're automatically owed it, but I think Christopher Daniels could be a fantastic champion, especially as a heel. But it's, at the same time, it's not his time to step up.
No, it's not. I'm sitting here looking at the roster, and it goes, well, you want people to step up, and then you look at their roster, and it's like, oof, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? It's like, there's no one on this roster that screams the hero. You know, for a surprising victory, Eric Young, you can put the belt right back on, like, say, a Bully Ray, but have Eric Young beat him, like a roll-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Eric Young would be a good one, because he's been trying to eagerly prove himself as the serious guy. It's, I'm not just, you know, a comic guy. I can be serious. I can have a run with the belt. And Eric Young has had a run with that belt. Was it that belt or was it?
It was a different belt.
It was a different belt? Okay, I'm sorry.
He found the world title belt in the trash and then wore it for a while.
Got it.
He found the belt Jeff Hardy threw away before he got to get it, and he kept wearing it for a while, calling himself the real world champion or whatever. Magnus. Magnus is an interesting name. They seem to have plans for him. I don't think they're right now, but he seems to be the guy 3 years from now will be the face of the company.
Right now they're doing their best to build Magnus, and it shows. And they're doing kind of sort of a slow build with him, a slow burn with him, which is what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Build him up slowly, and he could be somebody that comes to the anniversary, or come bound, well not some anniversary, but come bound for glory, he could be starting to become a major player in the company.
He could be. Magnus is TNA's the Rock from 98 or 96. Well, he doesn't have a goofy gimmick, so it's not 1996, and he's not so Hollywood like in 98. But I get his point. He has the potential. Magnus has the potential to be a star, and if he becomes a world champion, he would be an international star. But the problem is right now he's over in England. Now they gotta get him over here in the United States.
Right.
They actually have to invest some time and try to push him.
Yeah, he's not one of those that you just have Bully lay down for him and he's going to be an instant success. God, I can't talk.
Instant success.
Sorry, y'all. I don't know what's wrong with
her. She's fine. She's just overthinking herself right now. As she stares at me with an evil look because I'm, you know, covering for her, sort of.
I'm going to throw something at you in a second.
I know. She's going to throw out the window and go, I hit you now. She's going to shake her screen. And then you look, but Magnus is a little ways away. He needs another year. See, what WWE does, they think throwing a title on someone elevates them. And no, that doesn't work. You actually have, here's a concept, foreign concept. Wins and losses matter, and they need to build up Magnus with a streak, not like a total winning streak, an undefeated streak, but they need to have him some big wins over some big names, and right now there's not enough names for him to beat where he's fully established. And that's the biggest problem right now. Beyond Bullet Ray, there is no real number two heel in the main event picture. Everyone else has taken a back seat a little bit.
Now here's an interesting name to throw out that we're not really considering. What about Rob Terry?
He's another one years away. Yeah, I'm with that. Nice. Have Magnus lose in the finals of Bound for Glory series. Have him get so close, and then you spend the next year building him up, and then he would get into it. Rob Terry needs time. Rob Terry is a big, muscly dude, and he needs time. He's not fully over with the crowd at this point.
Yeah, but a nice way to build him would be to potentially have him be that guy that tries to step up, and ultimately he fails. But he tries.
Oh, he tries, yeah. He would be a nice guy to step in and try to take down Bully Ray and fail.
And I could see a succession of guys trying to do that before the one finally steps up and does it. And it may be AJ Styles that does it. It may be somebody else.
It seems like they're building AJ Styles for that.
Where they're building AJ kind of into this anti-hero, and eventually something snaps him out of whatever he's in, and he goes on to face Bully Ray.
And I think that's where they're sort of headed at some point, but it's a long time. It's a long way away, because he can't technically compete for the world title until after Bound for Glory.
Yeah, but you kind of sort of do what you're doing now, which is you keep AJ on that edge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like right now he doesn't have a dog in the fight. because Aces and Eights want him, and Bad Influence want him, and Hogan wants him, and you kind of have AJ continuing to do his own thing, where he doesn't really commit to anybody, and then it's, well, if I'm going to go after Aces and Eights, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to do it on my own. And it's not because you want me to do it, it's because I want to do it.
Right.
Because I can kind of see him winning the world title, and they defeat Aces and Eights and that kind of thing, and everybody's like, oh, AJ, you did it, you did it, you did it. You did it for the company, and he's like, fuck off, I didn't do it for the company, I did it for me. And he just walks off.
And just walks off. But I think it's going to build at some point to where we're going to get the heads collide, and at some point you have to disassemble the Aces and Eights will lead into something at some point. With the world title change. Go ahead.
Sorry. Do we see anybody defecting from the Aces and Eights?
No. I can't see someone defecting from the group at this point. They're not as fully established enough to at that point to where turning someone would change anything, change the course. Maybe in 6 months from now, possibly, but in the next few months, no. But that's just me.
Yeah, I can see that. It's just more me thinking out loud. It's like, well, could you have somebody in Aces and Eights decide, oh, well, I want the title. And there's sort of dissension in the group, and that leads to tension, and then...
The only person in that group that could possibly do that, Anderson.
I could see him doing that.
At some point, I could see that happening.
Anderson's a spy.
He's been a spy the entire time. So there you go.
Yeah, so it's more of us, we were sitting here thinking, well, with Jeff Hardy out, who goes after Bully Ray's title? Because right now there really is nobody else that they built, at least, that could step up, because, well, Storm's busy with AJ. Daniels and Kaz are doing their thing. Angle's doing his thing with Wes and Garrett. Anderson's in with Aces and Eights, so that won't work.
Right.
So it's like, well, who else can you put in that title picture? Because you obviously need a face to go against Bully. And all your faces are kind of busy right now.
So it'll be interesting to see, and maybe you could see the return of Jeff Jarrett. No. Anyway.
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett is not going to come back, unfortunately. As much as we would love to see Jeff Jarrett come back, it's not going to happen.
This is true.
Which, by the way, I'm shaking my finger. You can't see it, but shame on you, Bruce Pritchard, for blocking Jeff Jarrett out of the 10-year anniversary. Shame on you.
Shame, shame, shame on you.
Shame, shame, shame. Swiping my finger at you. So anyway, let's go ahead and transition out of that. We're going to go back to a little WWE for a little bit.
And it's sort of in the same vein as what do you do with this? Now the question is, what do you do with CM Punk?
Aside from giving him some very well-deserved time off.
Right. In case anyone does not know, CM Punk is taking time off to heal up from a variety of injuries he has suffered in his 434-plus day title reign. As WWE Champion, he injured his knee at WrestleMania. So it begs the question, is CM Punk is taking time off. There are rumors about how long he's taking off. But when he comes back, where do you go with CM Punk? What do you do with a guy who has done it all?
Do you maybe move him into a feud where he helps build somebody? I mean, it's really tricky because it's like CM Punk was a champion for over a year and he really did go through everybody.
He beat all the contenders heel and face. have him lose every match for a year. I'm on a 434-day losing streak. Well, technically, kind of, he already is. He won the one match. Well, he technically won the one match, so he's won. He's lost every match but one so far this year, just about.
So wait, he's John Cena?
Yeah, he's John Cena, but he's a character right now that has no direction.
Well, the way that they wrote him off Monday is they wrote him off where he's kind of lost his smile a little bit, and it's, you know, him and so proud and so confident in his abilities. He thought he could take out The Rock. He couldn't take out The Rock, so, well, I'll go after The Undertaker, thinking he could take out The Undertaker. He fails to take him out. And now he's got to eat a little bit of crow.
Right.
Where it's, okay, you know, you were so brave and so confident in your abilities, and now you've got to pay the piper and own up to the fact that maybe you're not as good as you thought you were.
Go ahead.
I don't know how necessarily to do it, but something interesting would potentially be a feud with Brock Lesnar.
That's an interesting name, and it's there's potential there, and that would be an interesting scenario with Paul Heyman. But at that point, I don't. The problem with it is they're both good at being heels, and it's not the point when Punk comes back for him to come back as a babyface, because we've seen that story, and it's not his best story to be told. He's better as the antagonist, the heel, the bad guy. Would the match between the two be interesting? Yeah. Would it draw some people in? Probably. But I don't know. It's like, it's a story that works, but it doesn't. If that makes sense.
It would be an interesting mix, but it wouldn't necessarily. And the other scenario is, what if, you know, we do our scenario, which we had talked about a couple months ago, where Paul Heyman gets control of the company, and he kind of does the whole Dangerous Alliance thing again.
Right, and him running roughshod. The problem is, here's the biggest problem. They don't have that guy on the roster right now, on the babyface side, where you go, I must see CM Punk versus X. You know what I mean? You have guys on the roster, but you don't have that guy.
Right. And Dutton Ice makes an interesting point of Punk was the lowest drawing champion of all time. And so he says outside of the IWC, I don't think the show will be missing a lot. The show is hurting somewhat because they're bringing in Brock. They're having Taker cover. So it's just, they will be hurting a little bit. I think they're going to hurt more than you think, just because Punk is their top heel.
And he's an entertaining character. That's the problem. He may be one of the lowest drawing champions in the company history. And some of that's his fault, some of it isn't. It depends where you're placed on the card, and there's stuff about that that's interesting in general, but that's for a different time. It's like, there's one matchup that we haven't seen, and is Sheamus and CM Punk. They've always sort of teased it, but we've never seen the full thing. And that's one guy you can think, that's a money match.
That would be an interesting. I just don't know about the promo work, if that makes sense.
I think Punk could carry Sheamus in a promo battle. But it's, Mace goes, this is what happens when you build your shows around one babyface at a time. Yes and no. They have enough focus on different guys, but it's, I don't know, something is missing with some of them.
They're really difficult to connect to, some of them. Like Sheamus, I don't know why, he's just very difficult to connect. Del Rio is the same way. It's like you love Ricardo, but Del Rio, you're just kind of like, eh?
You have guys in face roles that shouldn't be faces.
That I'll agree with.
You look at the company's roster, there's guys like Sheamus was better as a heel, Randy Orton better as a heel, but they're in a face role. Miz, better as a heel, now as a babyface. So it's a position where you have guys in roles that they're okay in, but they're not standout stars in. And it's time now where these guys in those roles need to step up and deliver, because we have a nice group of heels on the roster.
We do.
You have Mark Henry, you have The Shield, you have Big Show. You have these guys who are good in the heel role. And there's enough talent with the Dolph Ziggler's, you have enough talent there where it's okay, I want to see these heels in action, but I want to see them against some interesting babyfaces. And right now, this is where WWE needs to build a strong babyface, which they were building in Ryback until they decided to go heel with him. It's an interesting situation for them right now. Go ahead.
Personally, I don't think that's a loss, but anyway, continue.
I'm in agreement, but they were building him, so, you know, that's what they were doing.
Oh, I know.
So it's this point where, and some of it has to do with the booking of not building around them, but it's giving them dominance. It's the word. Back and forth booking doesn't always work when you're trying to get people invested in characters. And they haven't fully established enough babyfaces to where it's, we believe they can take losses and still go, yay, they can do it all the time. If that makes any sense.
It's like, yeah, you can kind of do it all the time.
So yeah, Punk, and the rumors around Punk is not coming back till SummerSlam.
I would be skeptical if they kept him out that long, but at the same time I wouldn't necessarily be surprised, just because they'll want him fully healed when he comes back, give him that nice long break. Because the rumor is, and again, we don't know how much validity there is to this, but apparently there was a big blow-up between Punk and WWE. At one point, he supposedly gave his notice to the company. So I don't know how true that is, but there was a blow-up between him and Creative. He wasn't happy with what was going on. We know he did get pulled off house shows, and that's supposedly part of the agreement to get him to stay. And I'm sure by this point he's probably hit burnout.
Again, he was the company for a year or so. He became back, he got the title, and he became the focus of this company. And when you're the focus of the company, you do everything. You're doing every single piece of media. You're doing every television show. You're going all around the world. You're the guy, and that's sort of stuff that burned out the likes of Shawn Michaels back in the day, where he was the guy, and it burnt him out right away. And that's why when you give guys long title reigns, they get burnt out. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And that's why title reigns are good and title reigns are bad. Or I should say long title reigns are good, long title reigns are bad.
Right. Cena's never been burnt out, and that's a good point, but we're never sure about that. Because he never shows it. He could go back home and go,
Well, if you think about it, they took the focus off of Cena for a while, and they moved it to Punk.
Right.
And they took the title off of Cena and moved it to Punk. So it could have been Cena was burnout. He did hit that point of, look, guys, I just can't do this anymore. Because, you know, to his credit, he does a lot.
He does a lot. But at the same time, he's been injured, and he's had those breaks where he's been able to take those couple months off to recharge his batteries after getting injured.
When?
he's been injured. He injured his neck a couple times. He was out. 07, 08, that, those, 09, that, those years. Remember that?
But that's like 4 years ago at this point. 5 years ago.
Well, I'm saying, I didn't say for it's been like this past week. I'm just saying he's had opportunities to relax. And they've and for the WWE's part this year, and the last year or so, they've given him weekends off. They've told him, okay, take some time, John. Take some time. They want to slow him down a little bit.
Yeah, they're trying to get the most that they can out of him, which is understandable. Because I know, like, when they're doing a house show here in Salt Lake in May, and Cena's not going to be here.
Lindsay will, but John Cena's not showing up.
That's okay. Keen will be here, so I'll be happy. Or at least Dean will be.
At least Dean's going to be there.
Get the bail money. Dean Ambrose is coming to Salt Lake.
And, well, Lindsay's going to... anyway.
Lindsay's got floor seats.
Lindsay has floor seats, and she's going to be... I want grabby hands.
No, it's not I want. It's tackle. Got him!
Oh, crap.
You're just going to get this text message on Friday. So, yeah. If I vanish for a couple days, you know why.
You know why, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting what they do with Punk and see how long he's out.
I mean, it could also be that they just bring Punk back and they throw him into a feud with whoever is either the champion, either on Raw or on SmackDown. Because here's another thing. Do we see Ziggler having a long reign with the title?
Yeah. Not a Punk long reign, but I can see him holding it till July or August.
So maybe you have a top babyface on SmackDown take it, and then maybe you move Punk over to SmackDown a little bit, or at least contend for that title?
Maybe something different. It's gonna be interesting to see, And that's the best part of WWE TV. When WWE is at its best, it's when it's unpredictable and you don't know what's going to happen.
Pretty much, yeah. And I like how they're kind of giving it that air of unpredictability again.
Right, and which is what you want, because none of us saw Brock Lesnar showing up on Monday, and he went Brock Smash on the three-man band.
Nobody saw the six-man coming in London either, but...
All right, so let's get into this a little bit.
Okay.
As many people are aware, as Lindsay just squeed a little bit, the man known as The Undertaker will be back in action for the first time in forever on Monday Night Raw. I'm thinking 2010 might have been the last time he was in action on Raw, but that's just my thinking, so it's maybe 3 years. At least.
At least.
The Undertaker is returning to action to team up with his brother Kane and Daniel Bryan to take on The Shield. This is the first time in a long time The Undertaker will probably be wrestling twice in the same week because he's scheduled for a dark match on SmackDown that Tuesday. This begs the question of why the hell is Taker wrestling on free TV, Lindsay?
Well, part of it is because CM Punk's taking a vacation. And also part of it is because they want to draw ratings, and having Taker wrestle on free TV will draw a rating.
This is really true.
And I think this could have been the plan the whole time, but it also could have been that they saw the internet and Twitter explode at the thought of the Brothers of Destruction and their pet goat facing the Shield. And everybody went, holy crap.
Everyone did go, holy crap, yes.
So, and also it's a nice way to build the heat between the Shield and Team Hell No, where it's being rumored at this point that the Extreme Rules will be where Team Hell No loses the belts, which will probably be the split for them. And one of the ways that you kind of do that is, you know, Kane has already been in a fragile state of mind. Because of Paul Bearer, they explored that a little bit, but not too much. And so Kane's mental state is up in the air. So what would happen if, say, the Shield got their hands on his brother and beat the crap out of his brother in front of him and sent the Undertaker to the hospital or sent him packing?
So, before we really get into it, I threw this question out there today on Facebook, and I'm going to throw it out here now. You have these three men, The Undertaker, Kane, and Daniel Bryan. This trio. What would you call them?
Two guys and a goat.
That seems to be a popular one. There's even a picture out there. It's on the Rack Facebook page at facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Of people Photoshop their faces on the Two and a Half Men characters.
Genius.
I know. So, we have a few names for this trio, and we want people in chat room, if you have any ideas, let us know. The Trio of Terror. Yes, Destruction. Masters of Destruction. The Dazzlers of Destruction.
No.
Team Rest in Hell No Peace.
A little too much.
Hell Knows Gate.
That's interesting.
Two brothers and a buddy named Brian. The Brothers of Destruction with Squeak Scholar.
What?
I don't know. Two monsters and a goat. The goat's big bros. Two and a half goat boy. Evil hell goat. Hell no, dead man.
That's funny.
Terrible, but funny.
But terrible but funny. That points for effort.
Points for effort. So those are some of the names. I like the Two and a Half Men one, Two and a Half Goat or whatever. What was the one you came up with?
Two Guys and a Goat.
Two Guys and a Goat. Yeah, that's the one I wanted. Two Guys and a Goat works for me.
But yeah, now this also begs the question of, depending on how long Punk is out, because not only are we seeing Taker in action, but we're seeing more Brock Lesnar. He's working Extreme Rules, potentially.
Right. Oh, I forgot one. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's a good one.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's a good one. But could he work Extreme Rules, is the question?
Brock or Taker?
Well, Brock's working it, as we know. It's not official, but it is official. Taker working Extreme Rules. I can't see it. I could see it if they did this match at Extreme Rules that's happening on Monday, but unless you do Undertaker versus Dean Ambrose at Extreme Rules, Lindsay's going, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you.
Actually, I'm okay with that.
But which side would you choose?
Teen.
No. No.
I would go with Taker.
You would go with Taker?
Of course I would go with Taker.
Okay.
It's kind of a requirement.
It's a requirement.
Sorry, Dean, but you're too new.
Too new. Okay. But no, it's like, it's one of those scenarios where it's like, I don't see a feud for him to go after Fandango versus Undertaker.
No, Taker can't dance.
Undertaker's hips can't move like that.
But I don't know. I kind of toyed around with this, and I posted this out on Facebook, and it kind of makes me wonder. Because it's also, what do you do with the Shield at this point? Because now they've established themselves, they're building themselves. So do we ever find out who's behind the Shield? And an interesting scenario would be, well, what if it's somebody you would never expect? What if it's, say, The Undertaker?
See, I don't think anyone is behind the Shield. I think they're just a group of guys on their own. But if, say, someone like The Undertaker was behind them, that would be interesting. They would be basically his eyes and ears and looking around when he's not around, basically, is the point you're trying to go for.
Yeah.
I could see that. I'm not sure how much, but I could see that. I could see it. Vince McMahon should be behind the Shield.
That's really kind of too expected. I mean, it's just... Or somebody contracts the Shield, or, you know, the Undertaker mentors the Shield, or something like that. Something you're not expecting. Because, truth be told, I'm also kind of curious as if he's going to work more dates outside of London. If he's going to go past that and work more dates. Because obviously he seems to be feeling well enough to at least do two more matches after Mania. I mean, he doesn't have to do barn burners, but you could kind of almost start to transition him into a mentor role.
Mm-hmm.
Where he starts to mentor a young talent or younger talents and help to get them over, aside from just giving them matches. So it's, you put him in that leader role that he's known for. And he's now more the mentor as opposed to the wrestler. And then that way you can kind of sort of have him do more or have him be there more. Not that I'm saying he should be, but if he's going to be there in that capacity rather than having him try to wrestle, which we know he doesn't have too many matches left in him, you move him into that kind of different role.
Yeah, I can see that kind of. But it gets to a point where it's... It just gets to a point where I don't know. I just don't see it, honestly. I can't see him in that mentor role. Like, I know what you're going for. I see it completely. But the character right now, there's not enough talent on. There's not talent on that roster. I could see him mentor. And even how cool it would be for the Shield, it would make him too involved. And at this point with the Undertaker, they need to pick and choose his spots. They need
right.
to pick and choose when he's coming in. And I can't see him mentor the Shield. It would be cool. I'm with you, but...
And keep in mind, 90% of this is my bias to the fact that I just want to see him back because I miss him quite a lot.
Right. But I'm thinking, this is just me thinking out loud, we may see The Undertaker again, and it could be for SummerSlam.
Question is who does he go against?
Oh, we could be here for hours talking about that. I'm not going down that road now. But me and you, we could be here for hours trying to figure out the next opponent.
And we probably will be. But not on the air.
Not on the air. I don't know the name off the top of my head. He's did that and I said, alright. Maybe.
It's been done.
That's a discussion for another time.
Yes, yeah, so everybody think about that because we may bring it up in the future. But on that note, I say we transition into our question of the night.
Our question of the night goes as follows. Are wrestling fans too quick to judge things that happen in pro wrestling?
And what did the fans have to say?
No. Yes. For the money we put into the biz, we should be able to book the damn shows. You could. It would also cost...
Wait. Who said that?
Someone named Steve Credo said that in the Marks group. Go check out the Marks groups on Facebook.
Anyway, continue.
I gave them the plug. They said they wanted a plug, so I gave them a plug. Because I posted in their group. So, there's your plug. You could if it was called Cyber Sunday or Taboo Tuesday. They have Raw Active. If you believe they actually record accurate polls or listen to Marks, then I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn. Someone says yes, and then someone else goes, I think we are very quick to judge, myself included, but when you're watching a show since you were very young and were still very much invested in it, that's what happens. Look at baseball during spring training. There are a lot of fans who say, wait till next year before opening day. Don't even.
I'm biting my tongue. Go on.
Don't even. Don't.
The season's still early for Philly. I'm sure they can make it up. I'm sure Halla Taker will get better.
Who pitches tomorrow, by the way? In the words of Steve Austin and the fans, what? What's funny is WWE only wants to give us what we want, but they can't please all of us. Cena's top guy for a reason. He's the moneymaker. He's actually what the people want to spend the most money on. They don't push guys like Gabriel or Tyson Kidd to keep Kali around because people want that. Smarks don't, but people do. We are also fickle. We want Ziggler. He cashed in. Yeah, but where is this going? Also, he just lost at Mania, so he's not really a credible champion. We don't even know what we want. It's more of a lack of patience in wrestling. Think about the Mega Power storyline really starting with Hogan's feud with Andre and how DBS became WWF champion, which led to Savage going face, Mega Power's born, Savage wins title at WrestleMania in the tournament, with Hogan in his corner, a series of tag matches over the next year, so they led the explosion at WrestleMania 5, look at the rise of Sting against the NWO, another story that was laid out beautifully over a course of 2 years. Nowadays, fans can't handle something that goes more than 3 monthly pay-per-views, also hampers people getting over and becoming legit talent, because the only thing that does this is time and layers. Look at the last batch of big names, Warren, Cena, Batista. They were given too much too fast because of the attention spans of fans. As a result, their status caught up with them with their push a year or two later. Really long, wasn't it? And I continue some more. J.J. Schaefer goes, without overreacting and rushing to judgment, the IWC wouldn't exist. It's a stock and trade, and it's so effing annoying. Mace goes, they are too quick and they are also too negative. Take CM Punk being written off TV. The most vocal people on most sites are saying that WWE is better off without him, and he was a complete waste of space on the roster. Let's just forget that the guy made the WWE Championship relevant again, had the longest reign in the last 10 years, and some of the most memorable promos in years, and also helped bring back a lot of old school wrestling thought and processes that has currently helped the business gain more viewers than it has in the last 5 freaking years. I know it's fading off because I'm reading a lot. But that means nothing because Punk took a stand against the writers and didn't want to come off as a whiner on TV. So this instantly means that Punk is worthless and a waste because the IWC and the wrestling media made him out to be a whiny bitch. So Schaefer, there's the other side of the coin. I've seen a number of people who say Punk's been shunted down to the mid-card and are whining he'll never break through to the main event. Not even joking. I'm done talking. You talk now. And she doesn't even talk. She makes me continue to talk some more.
Sorry, I had it on mute. So, I have something to say.
Okay, good. Because I just said a lot.
Yeah, you did. To the person that said, we pour enough money into this business, we should be able to book it. It's opinions like that that drive me absolutely crazy. The fact that you are entitled to something. And we all do it. I do it, Rock does it, everybody does it. Where we all feel that we are entitled to something just because we are fans, we pay for it, and we should get to book it, we should get to see it. I don't think that's true. I'm really, really, really sick of just the fickleness and everybody thinking that WWE should book just for the IWC. Mm-hmm. I'm really sick of that attitude and that opinion of, well, you know, we're the IWC, we know everything, and they should book according to us because it clearly shows that we can't even make up our minds what we want. And so it doesn't matter what they give them. It's like people scream for the Attitude Era. They try to give the Attitude Era back. It fails. You know, they don't want John Cena as champion anymore. They don't want The Rock as champion anymore. Guess what, people? They tricked you into wanting John Cena as the WWE champion. Tricked you into it because everybody didn't want to see The Rock as champion. Punk was wrestling Taker, so guess who's going to have to take the belt off The Rock? Cena. And we have a caller.
We have a caller on the right. Caller, welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name's Steve from Kansas.
Hello,
you're
Steve.
From Kansas?
I'm here to talk about them wrestling things.
Okay, Steve from Kansas, what's on your mind tonight?
Are you related to Steve from Wyoming?
That's my cousin.
Sweet!
He's the arm breaker, I'm the toe breaker.
You're the toe breaker. Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah, I haven't got enough skills to break the arm, so I'll do the toe, see?
Now, what toe do you go for? Do you go for the pinky toe, the middle toe, the big toe? What's your specialty?
It's the one on the left-hand side, near the middle.
So, Steve from Kansas, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I couldn't get this off a fucking hell, look at that.
Hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
Hello.
Oh, I wanted you to keep it up. That would have been funny. So what's on your mind, buddy?
I'm right there with Lindsay, with the person who says, we're entitled to walk the show. No, you're entitled to sit the fuck down and be entertained. You don't like it? Tough shit.
Aww.
Try to get a refund. You ain't going to get it. Get off the speed rock.
Swear I'm not.
Sorry.
I
doped him up before the show. My bad.
You on the red cordial again, didn't you?
Yeah.
Thought so.
No wonder I have a headache right now.
But yeah, with this whole situation, like, yes, the IWC is very quick to judge. For some reason, they believe that they are, I wouldn't really say unique, but that they are something bigger than what they really are.
Yeah, they're
idiots who believe that they should be, that just because they sit behind a computer, behind a keyboard, and you know, they spend nothing but their day sitting there watching wrestling from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, etc., that they can book a better job than, you know, the guys that are actually running the company.
Well, I think what you mean is,
if they have this type of ability, why don't they put their money where their mouth is? Oh, wait, one guy did that in Canada. His name's Tim Stein.
By the way, go to CanadianOpera.com and buy tickets for April 27th, April Assault. Tickets available now. Call Tim Stein 24/7. The number's on the website, CanadianOpera.com.
And if you want to laugh, go and watch the video that he posted. You actually get to see how old he really is. He's a freaking skeleton.
Yes, it's on the Canadian All Pro YouTube page, which you can find at CanadianAllPro.com.
I think what you mean to say is the IWC, we all feel that we are the voice of the wrestling fans because we have a way to vent our voice.
Yeah, pretty much. There is definitely that. Because we have the outlet, we take some sort of we have to stance on it, whereas we really shouldn't.
Although I should point out that there is actually a creative writer job, so anybody, creative writer job on WWE.com right now that is open. So if anybody feels that they can book better than the current writers, go apply for it.
Exactly. If you believe that you can do better, put your friggin' money where your mouth is. Instead of bitching on a friggin' forum, get a resume together, get some writing samples together, and send it off to the company.
But what if I don't want to do that? What if I just want to sit here and complain on the internet like this?
Are you an AV nerd?
Yes, I'm an AV nerd.
Then maybe you should go out and create your own podcast network.
I'm going to be quiet.
I will gladly take shots at ourselves.
No, I had a joke I can't make on air. Anyway.
Type it in the chat box. But yeah, and like I said, we are all guilty of this. We all do it. You know, we are a part of the IWC. We are wrestling fans on the internet. Fully admit to it.
Yep.
And it's we've all bitched about one thing or another. It gets really tiresome, because I think for me, I don't understand the fans that watch it to just bash it or watch it and hate every second of it. I don't understand why you would do something like that and waste your time like that when you could do other things.
You could get out and you know, actually be creative, you could channel that energy into other subjects.
And that goes true for any fan of anything. It's like, why would you call yourself a fan and you sit there and you watch it only to bash it, only to make fun of it, only to do whatever? Is it because all the cool kids are doing it? I think it's...
I like that, because that's the statement I put out on Facebook the other day.
You know, I don't understand it. It's like, why? Why would you...
Because people these days love to spew blind negativity and hate. It's the way that the world has become. And I'm like, okay, well, you and I have discussed this very recently, mm-hmm. that, yes, I complain about The Rock, I have issues with the product, but I've never come out and just said, I just hate this because it's stupid. I've always had a reason, and I've always had some way logically thought that I can come out and say, okay, here's what I don't like, here's what might work, here's another example, and you know, I sit down and I take the time to think about this rather than just go, I hate it, I don't like it, it's not like I used to watch.
Oh my god, it's the same people from 2002. Oh my god, I hate this product. Oh my god, you shouldn't watch it. Oh my god.
Oh my God, and if they had new people on TV every week, people would go, I don't know these people, bring back the old guys.
I want old people back, please. Oh yes, you sir are correct, yes, you are correct, yes, you are correct. Oh my God, you're the best person in the world, you're so right.
Well, I think what's... By the way, I know where you went with that. Well done.
You're welcome.
I think what's irritating, at least about it for me, and I'm going to say irritating a lot, is it's like, for example, the people that clamor and climb and want it so bad, they want the Attitude Era back. I'm so sick of everybody comparing the Attitude Era to everything the WWE does. People, the Attitude Era happened, what, 14 years ago now?
And it lasted... 4 years.
4 years. And if you go back and watch some of our riffs, we riff stuff from the Attitude Era. What you're remembering and what actually happened, it's like, yeah, there were some fantastic moments in the Attitude Era, but a lot of it was crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And...
All you gotta do is take a look back at the, what was it? When we were doing WWE 13. We realized back then that it was like, okay, I remember this being a lot better than it played out.
Yeah, yeah, it's
nostalgia goggles. Everybody's got to have that rose-tinted glasses to everything.
And what kills me is about The Rock is, and this is not a shot at you, Mace, is everybody's clamoring. They want the Attitude Era back. They want it back. They give you... one of the quintessential characters from the Attitude Era back in The Rock. And if you look at his promos, he's pretty much cutting the same promos that he was in that time. Slightly watered down. He's cutting the same jokes, using the same kind of language, and everybody shit on it. Everybody hated it. But it's like, that's The Rock. That's what he did in the Attitude Era. That's what you loved. That's his shtick. They're giving it to you, and you hate it. It's like, I think what a lot of fans don't realize or remember or want to understand is that the Attitude Era was such a unique time in wrestling. It was really what you would call a perfect storm.
Right, and there was a lot of bad things that happened in that said Attitude Era.
Yes, there were a lot of bad things that happened, but there were a lot of good things as well, and it revolutionized a business, like it or hate it. It did make a lot of change for the good and the bad.
Right.
But it's, you don't have those same conditions now that you did in that time. So it's like, you could try to bring back the Attitude Era. You could try to do everything you did in the Attitude Era. And guess what? It's probably not going to work. Because the Attitude Era was two companies reacting to each other. It was two companies trying...
Prime example... people have been clamoring for the Attitude Era. The Attitude Era was about pushing the boundaries of good taste. The whole lead up for Undertaker and Punk, that's the type of thing that you would have seen happen quite commonly in the Attitude Era. Yet people got up in arms about it.
Yeah, and I could see that. No, you're fine. Well, the thing about Taker Punk is everybody has a line. And it's just, it kind of depends on where your threshold is for that line. As far as what they did. Some people, death is a little bit different. But I understand your point in the fact that they did. They pushed the boundaries of good taste. They went as far as they could go with it. And they probably could have gone a little bit further, but it all depends on the family, too. I think a lot of people saying, well, it could have gone a lot farther. It's like, I think sometimes we all forget that was a very real situation, and there is a grieving family involved. So, but as far as the Attitude Era goes, you're right. It was pushing boundaries. It was taking that line and smashing it and stepping over it as far as you can. And honestly, that's not what they're into now. That's not going to pay their bills. Guess what? Companies aren't going to give you money if you're full of profanity and sex and gratuitous violence.
What?
No. And look at the sponsors that they have now versus the sponsors that they had back in the Attitude Era.
We don't see those Stacker 2 commercials anymore.
Nope. Well, I think they went out of business because they killed people.
Shh. I'll talk about that.
Oh, sorry. But yeah, you have more name brand companies sponsoring the WWE versus back in the day, you didn't necessarily have that.
Right, you have Kmart and stuff like that sponsoring, and Mattel and stuff like that as a sponsor. TNA is 5-hour energy. Yeah, but they don't have, well, they used to have, yeah, they still have 5-hour energy, but yeah, it's, the company's changing, people clamoring for Attitude Era need to get over themselves, and people who are stuck in the past need to get over the past. We're in a different day, different companies, different talent. Move on. Accept wrestling for what it is. That's why I always go about the approach of, let's see how this plays out. I might not like everything, but the approach I always take with wrestling is, let's just watch and see.
Yeah, it's you walk into it wanting to like it. You walk into it wanting to give it a chance. You're positive about it, as opposed to seeing something in 5 minutes later or 5 seconds later, in some cases, jumping to the conclusion of, oh, it's shit. Without really giving it a chance and giving it that time to play out.
Right.
And it's just, I think a lot of fans could do with that attitude. You know, it's, somebody give them an attitude adjustment.
Quick,
please.
Call John Cena.
tell him to give the internet wrestling community an attitude adjustment. That'd be amazing.
He'll just give everybody the F you. See what I did? Anyway.
Well, CM Punk already kind of did that, so.
Yeah, so. Time for Magic 8-Ball?
Yes, time for Magic 8-Ball.
So you out there in the lovely chat room right here on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, give us a little question that you wanted to ask the Magic 8-Ball. So what should we ask? Mace, you have a question for the Magic 8-Ball?
Let's see. Great and powerful Magic 8-Ball. Will my quarter pounders made at home this weekend turn out anything like the ones at McDonald's, even though I'm using the exact same recipe?
Will Mesa's quarter pounders made at home turn out just like they are at McDonald's? Let's see. I can read it. There's too many bubbles.
Bubbles!
My sources say no.
Oh.
Sorry, Mace.
Sorry, Mace.
That means they're just going to turn out better than McDonald's.
There you go. There's a way to look at it.
Be positive. On the upside.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's see. Will Jack Evans be making a return to TNA soon? Let's see. As I see it, yes.
Ooh,
so there you go.
There you go. Will the Phillies start end the month of April with a positive record?
Will the Phillies end the month of April with a positive record? And yes, I am struggling to keep a straight face.
Struggling to keep a straight
face. All sources say no.
Oh, well, it's positive. It says without a doubt.
Woohoo! There's hope.
It lies.
Thank you, Magic 8 Ball. You're telling the truth tonight. I can see it.
Are you lying? Yes.
Son of a bitch. I'm gonna curl up
and all of Vox's hopes and dreams crumble.
Sorry, Rock. Will I have lunch with a certain special someone at the end of May? Ooh, without a doubt. Sweet.
Ooh. So there you go. One final one. Are the Motor City Machine Guns dead?
Are the Motor City Machine Guns dead? Most likely.
This is a truth teller tonight, I'm telling you. So that's Magic 8 Ball for the evening?
That's Magic 8 Ball for the evening. So do we have anything we want to rant about?
Not really.
Oh, you don't want to go off about the Phillies?
Offense, please. Some offense, please. That's all. Be nice.
Be kind, rewind.
I don't like you right now.
Rewind back to 1996, because that's when they were good.
No, they weren't. Rewind about 5 years. When they were good. 96, they sucked. I think Dunnice wants us to ask Magic 8 Ball one final question.
All right, well, what is the one final question?
Will Alex Shelley return to TNA in 2014?
All right, this is the last one. Will Alex Shelley return to TNA in 2014? Signs point to yes.
Are you happy now? There you go. Because he's pointing upwards to the thing. So there you go. But yeah, Philly's hard-fought loss tonight.
They snatched victory from the, or they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yes. Yes, they did.
By the way, Braves won. Yeah!
I hear about this fucking year. It's a daily thing.
Oh, just wait till football starts.
Schedule was announced, but we'll talk about that later. Mace, got anything you want to rant about before we go?
I've got something I want to rant about, but I'm not too sure if we're going to discuss it Sunday or not. In terms of a certain WWE policy and ripping off somebody about a couple of grand.
I don't even know what you're talking about, so yeah, we'll probably talk about it Sunday.
The guy that got ejected over the sign.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yep.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm good.
Lindsay?
I'm good.
Okay.
So, on that note, Mace, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, I suppose I should plug that little video game thing that I do on Friday nights right here, probably somewhere around the 8 p.m. Eastern range. Probably going to go through some Injustice Gods Among Us, the new DC fighting game from NetherRealm Studios. Probably going to do something with that. Maybe. Kind of. Don't know.
Card subject to change.
As always. As long as I'm home.
As long as Mace plays video games 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. All depends on this whole time change thing.
Yep. Depends on when I wake up.
Whenever Mace wakes up. Following him, you can follow him on Twitter, at the Mace Thing, by the way. And don't add him on Facebook, because he doesn't add people on Facebook. But if you can find him, maybe he'll add you.
No, I don't, but people stalk me on Facebook. That evil following thing I found out seemed to have people stalking me today.
Well, you can always turn that off.
I could, but I can't be bothered navigating through Facebook menus. Because they never make it easy enough to go, click, settings, do you want to turn this off? Yes. No, it's settings, this page, over here, turn here, do this, spin around 3 times, touch your ankles, bend over, take it up the ass, and then maybe they'll let you out the menu that you can turn it off at.
Yahtzee.
Pretty much.
And we gave May something to rant about. Saturday night, midnight is CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We'll talk about the weird, wacky, the unusual, and we'll have Rob and Subway talk about the best shirtless performance of the year. They don't know it, but it's going to happen. Sunday night is Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Join Tim Stein, Omega, and Mace as they cover the week in pro wrestling. Monday night, me and Lindsay will cover Raw and the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. 3 hours Raw, cut down to about 45 minutes. The Raw Post Show, it's fun, entertaining, it's weird. It's strange, it's me and Lindsay talking wrestling. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. If you missed the interviews with Sugar Dunker, Tim, go back, and Jimmy Carter, go back and check out the archives this week on the show. He will be talking with Nigel McGuinness and Kahegas. Tune in for that at 9 p.m. Eastern, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. GP Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday night. Go back and listen to the true story of Crossfire Wrestling that you just conducted last night in the archives right here at WildTalkRadio.com. But join Scott Barron, Matthew Forsina for Cheap Heat Radio. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio.com, at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork, WTRProtections.net. Go to KennyandAllPro.com for tickets for April Assault on April 27th, which means next Saturday we'll be commentating about Tim's event live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay, plug, please. You can follow her on Twitter at LindsWord.
Sorry,
go to my
sorry.
Go to my DeviantArt at LindsWord.deviantArt.com. Go to CassieRiley.com for all your Cassie Riley needs.
So, if you can't, in case you didn't hear that, at LindsWord, LINSWARD, PsychWordDesigns.com, CassieRiley.net, LindsWord.deviantArt.com, RackRadioShow.com. Stay tuned because we maybe, possibly, kind of, sort of have some big things coming. Mm. So, just
cross fingers and toes and hope.
Yes, hope and pray.
Sacrifice something to the gods of above for things to happen.
Yes, pray. Pray really hard, people, because if it happens, it's going to be pretty epic. So stay tuned. But for Mace and for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Please go visit our sponsors, PW Mania, Mem Lane Promo, and of course, TNA Asylum. To everybody listening to us on at least TNA Asylum and PW Mania, thanks so much. We hope to see you next week. Take care, and we're out. Bye.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.